We ask, Lord, as we go to your word, that we would be reminded of what our lives can be like because of the resurrection. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have lived foolishly or apathetically. We just thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your patience towards us, and we thank you for the resurrection. In Christ's name, amen. You know, there's, from the dawn of time, people trying to figure out what is life really all about. And some have painted glowing pictures of it. And they call those people the utopians, all right? They have a utopian view. It's all going to get better, you know. But the problem with that, there's no evidence of that, all right? And then you have the dystopians, all right? Those people, it's never going to get better. And we might as well just whatever, you know. And that's probably closer to reality, but has nothing to do with what the Bible says. The Bible is about hope. So whatever you're going through here this morning, it's my prayer that you would leave with a sense of hope. Because what we're talking about here today is not wishful thinking. This is reality. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The Greeks tried to figure it out a long time ago, and then one of their myths was called the myth of Sisyphus. All right. Now, Sisyphus was a king, and he was a king of what would become the town of Corinth many years later. And so he was destined by the gods, little g, to push a rock up a hill for eternity and have it roll back down. All right. Sometimes that's what you feel like your life is like as you go to work. All right. Well, years later, right in the midst of one of the greatest tragedies of humankind, the Second World War, a man named Albert Camus would take that same myth and write it in his own way, the myth of Sisyphus. He would be living under Nazi occupation in his beloved France. And in 1942, he would write the words to the myth of Sisyphus, where Sisyphus was pushing this rock up the hill, and he get to the pinnacle, and he said that life is absurd in that way. There is no God. There is no purpose. There is no compass. There is nothing. And he is just baffled by the destruction of the Nazis and the destruction of humankind. He says, we're just all out like rats. And so, but Sisyphus gets to the top of the hill, and then for a split second of joy, he gets to watch it roll back down. So he said, that's where happiness is. Happiness is kind of embracing the absurdity. That sounds kind of depressing. Years later, Camus would be invited to a group of Christians. It was in 1948, the war was over. And here's what he said to these Christians. He wasn't a Christian. He was, to his admission, somewhere between an atheist and an agnostic. He would go back and forth. But here's what he said, and this is why I wanted to share this morning. He would say to Christians, this is the Tanimos saying that the world today needs Christians to be Christians. He wasn't meeting with them so he could flail them. He was saying, listen, if what you believe is true, we need to hear it. That's what he said. And he would go on to say this. I love this. That the world expects Christians, that is, Christians should speak out loud and clear, that they should voice their condemnation in such ways that there's never a doubt, never the slightest doubt could rise in the hearts of the simplest man. They should get away from abstraction and confront the blood-stained face of history that has taken place today. We need Christians resolved to speak out clearly and to pay up personally. Wow. Friends, if the resurrection happened, and it did, then our lives ought to be different. And the world desperately needs. They need the power of the love of Christ and his resurrection. It's kind of selfish to hold on to it, right? And even if a a guy like Albert Camus, who would ultimately win the Nobel Prize in 1958, right? So, I mean, this guy's no slouch. This guy could write, right? But what he was writing had no hope. And even if you're not a writer, you live and breathe. You have interaction with people that I'll never have interaction with. So, be a Christian. Live as Christ. Amen? All right, so we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 3, and I bet it tells us that. All right? All right. So for the next couple weeks, we'll be talking about, because the resurrection happened, here's how we should live. So let's start then at verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, which where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind on the things above, not on the things which are below, on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your body, or earthly body, as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is amount to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger and wrath and malice and slander, abusive speech from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, but lay aside the old self with its evil practices. Now, next week, we'll talk about verse 10 and following and what we're supposed to put on, all right? But because I want to be concise today, and you all need to go home and eat a ham or something, all right? Then I want to get right to the point. Here's the point. We need to live in the reality of the resurrection. I need to live in the reality of the resurrection. So the first thing is this. We notice, I'm going to put it in the metaphor, if you would, of a journey on a ship. Okay. If we go to Denmark, which is where my wife's family are from, and you go to her grandfather's church in Suleroid, there in the vestibule of the church is a ship. And it's a beautiful wooden ship, and it's pointed towards true north, all right? And so we're going to look at the metaphor of the resurrected life in the context of that, all right? It'll help us. So the first is this. If, in fact, we are risen, then let's make sure we have the right compass and the right heading. Well, what does it say about that? Look here at verse 1. If, then, you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on the things above and not the things which are on earth. So part of the thing that resurrection demands is a changing of the setting of our course. And we do that by fixing our eyes on Jesus and fixing our mind on the things of heaven. My mom, I'm not sure when she first told me this, but she's with the Lord now, but she would say to me, son, get your mind out of the gutter. All right? Well, that was a metaphor that, hey, you're not thinking right. All right? Or you're thinking poorly. Well, friends, we need to get our mind out of the gutter of the world. We need to fix our gaze on Jesus, enthroned in heaven, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. All right? He's the King. I'm not. So I'm going to fix my gaze on him. When we take our gaze off of Jesus, things don't go well. When I was a kid, I was a runner. I was a good runner, really good runner. In fact, I could give you every runner, they know their personal best and everything. So I could tell you a personal best in a half mile, a mile, 2 mile, 3 mile, whatever. Best marathon I ever limped through, all that. But a famous race, and I have it penned from the Ukiah Daily Journal on my wall in my office, is when I was running against a guy who, and I've shared the story before, and he was one of the great runners in Northern California, a guy from Fort Bragg. He had won the state championship for cross country. And we were out on our cross country course, and I was beating this guy. And I was beating this guy because I knew how to run our course. And I got done and I came down this hill and I got on the low gap road and I'm running along like this and I go, I can't believe it, I'm winning, you know? And I kept looking back, I said, I can't even see the guy. I said, well, I'm going to be glorious, you know? And I kept running, I still couldn't believe it, I kept looking back and then all of a sudden I see him, you know? And this guy's determined, he's got this determined look on his face. I have a panic look on my face, all right? Can't believe I'm winning this race. We finally come across, go by now where the jail is in Ukiah by the juvenile hall, cross over where the softball fields are, and I look back, and I'm not kidding, I looked back one time and he was no longer there. Why? Because he had passed me going on this side. And in my office, it has that race recorded for everyone. If anyone ever read the Ukiah Daily Journal, that I lost the race by seconds. I determined that when I became a Christian, I would take Paul at his word, the Apostle Paul. He says, forget what lies behind. Friends, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you repented of your sins and you've, by his power, turned and you've found salvation in Christ, then quit looking behind. That's not what defines you. You know what defines you? Jesus defines you. And we ought to be thinking the things of heaven. The scriptures tell us time and time again that we're supposed to focus right here. It says in Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains for which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. I love that verse. It has nothing to do with mountains. All right? I like mountains. They're large and they're lofty. But it is not about loving mountains. It's okay to love mountains because God made them. But it lifts our eyes. Why? Because my help comes from the Lord. If you're struggling right now, and I have a sense that there are many people here who are struggling, I get it, then lift your eyes to heaven. Psalm 123, verse 1. To thee I lift my eyes, O thou who art enthroned in heaven. Behold, as to the servant look to the hands of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the mistress, so my eyes look to the Lord our God until he shall be gracious to us. So during difficult times, we look to the Lord so he will be gracious to us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth the host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. He counts all the stars. You know, there's in our own galaxy, there's trillions, trillions of stars. How could that be? He knows. And then there's trillions or billions of galaxies. How can this possibly be? Because God made them and he numbers them. So in the context of that, is there something going on your life right now that you just feel defeated? Maybe it's another person or a situation or a broken dream. I'm not sure what it is. Your own foolishness has caught up to you. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I need to get my eyes off myself and get them on the Lord. Why? Because that's what resurrection living is. Let's look to the resurrected one. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 to 3. I love this passage. It says in verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay every sin and encumbrance which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who suffered such hostility by sinners against himself. Why? That you may not grow weary or lose heart. Friends, I know that I grow weary and I lose heart. And one of the reasons, get this, I get my eyes off of God. He can do anything. I'm not making this up. The Bible's filled with those stories. Get this. Everyone look here. You are one of the stories. Your life, it may be a mess right now, but your life is one of the stories. And here's the common denominator. Jesus Christ is risen. Period. And whatever situations are going on in your life or your family, whatever, it doesn't change that reality. Jesus Christ and his power, Jesus is risen. Well, what happens when we focus on above and the eternal things? T.E. Lawrence put it this way, all men have dreams, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds awake to the day to find it was all vanity. But the dreamers that dream in the day are dangerous men, for the many act out their dreams with wide open eyes to make it possible. I don't quote these people just because I'm trying to be cool. They said something there. There are people, not all people dream alike. Friends, dream as a person who has been changed by the resurrected Christ. Anything's possible then. Thomas Carlyle put it this way, a man without purpose is like a ship without a rudder, a waif, a nothing, a no man. Have a purpose in life, and having it, throw such strength of mind and muscle into it as God will give you. Because of the resurrection, let's go for it. Let's dream big. Believe that God is capable. C.S. Lewis said this, the glory of God, and as our only means to glorify him, the salvation of human souls, that is our real business of life. People outside the walls of this church and 70 other churches in Lake County that are proclaiming the resurrection today, people outside these walls, they think this is all there is. They think the church is just a bunch of rules and stuff. It's not. Why do we come to church? Because we want to worship the risen Savior. And then he's told us to go and tell everyone the good news. Amen? All right. What happens when we get our gaze off of Christ? Well, you know what happens, right? You fall into all kinds of stuff, anxiety and fear, maybe even wickedness. Lost your way. Right? I love the Bible because it's so clear. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The devil just wants you to be lost. He'll call you a loser and you're no good, there's no hope. That's not true. The Bible says there's all kinds of hope. Amen? All right. Friends, I realize in my life right now, if I decided to get lost, right, spiritually, that it would impact negatively people around me. If I tossed aside, lived capriciously, and lived wild life, I won't do it. But I know this, that it would affect my wife, it would affect my children, it would affect maybe this church, probably, yeah. 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 That Gary there, he went and joined the French Foreign Legion. What happened to that guy? I was a kid, I was a Boy Scout, and we were out in the desert camping, and there was a big flash flood that came. We had to move, and we got in our vehicles, and the scoutmaster said, let's go this way, and we followed, instead of the road, we followed a dry wash. All right? Bad idea. We got stuck in the middle of the Mojave Desert. All right? Now, here's the thing. Here's your scoutmaster, and he had a compass and everything, you know? And we got lost. And we're there in the middle of about midnight, and then I remember hearing this, seeing this light. And I see the light, and it'll go away. See the light, it'll go away. See the light. It was a guy in a doom buggy. And he was making, he would start screaming, come this way, we're lost, you know. And he got there, and he led us back to the highway. Now, you know, then my scoutmaster would felt embarrassed by that. Well, I don't want to be, I don't want to get to heaven and feel embarrassed about anything. I'm sure I will about many things. But friends, the reality of resurrection says this. The first thing, you have a compass, and the compass is Jesus. You may not know what to do today. You may be in the jungle of life somewhere. But here's the solution. Look up. Cry out to him. He is risen. The next thing we need to remember, remember that not only do we have a need a compass, it's Jesus, but we also have a new captain. Now, where do I get that? I'll read that starting in verse 3. For if you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, and Christ who is our life is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. Now, there's four things here. Three of them happened in the past, and one's going to happen in the future, okay? Friends, our life right now, your life right now, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, he's now the captain. Your life is wrapped up in him. That's what it says. Why? Because it says he died, and we died because he died. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 6, it says this, we have been crucified with Christ. Romans 6, you know, and following goes, he died, we died to sin that we may be free from sin and now live with Christ. All right? It also tells us we've been raised with Christ. And it says then that our life now is hidden with Christ in God. Now, this is a big concept, right? If you have surrendered your life to Christ, then you're no longer yourself. You're now it's Christ in you, and you in Christ, hidden with Christ in God. And so we ought to live in such a way. In fact, next week, the passage says, let the peace of Christ rule, be the umpire of your heart. I just want to, don't answer out loud, who's captaining your ship today? Yourself? A friend? Person sitting next to you? Maybe it's somebody in the past who ripped you off or hurt you. They're the captain because they're pulling your strings. Friends, fix your eyes on Jesus and allow Jesus to be the captain. Why? Because it says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then here's now the next. So Christ, who is our life, is to be revealed, then you will also be revealed. So three things before and one thing yet to come. Christ is returning, and the Bible says we will return with him. And so to me, that's the captain of the ship. And then lastly, if we have a new compass, which is fixing our eyes on heaven and having thoughts of heaven, thoughts of holy things, next is that Jesus Christ is the captain of our ship. We're not our own. Then let him direct you. And the last one is this, is that let the captain choose the cargo. Well, what does that mean? Well, here it says, therefore, because of the compass and the captain, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, desire, greed, amounts to idolatry, and which amounts to these things, have the wrath of God will come. In this you also were once walked and were living in them, but now put them all aside. All right? So if in fact we have a new direction, a new focus on heaven and Christ, the risen Lord, if we have a new captain, he's the one calling the shots. That's what it means to have him be Lord. Then he gets to choose what's in your life. And he's got a whole list there. Hey, don't let this stuff be in your life. That's all dead stuff. All right? That's all dead stuff. You know, the Greeks had a terrible way that they would punish a murderer. They would get the person that they murdered, and they would tie them to that person's body. That's kind of gross. I wasn't going to share that, but it's true. Friends, there is part of you have died. Then don't be tied to what's dead. Allow Christ to strip that away. Here's what the Bible says. I love this verse. It's in Romans. Romans chapter 13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness and sexual promiscuity and sensuality or strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we'll talk about next week, and make no provision for the flesh in regards to his lust. The Greek word provision there literally means to provision a ship. Friends, let's lay aside those things that were provisioning the things that were dead. All right? And next week, I'm so excited because the passage next week talks about what to put on, how to live that life. But friends, it starts with this. It starts with focusing on Jesus, the compass, allowing him to be the captain, and then allowing the captain to say, you know what? That doesn't belong on board. That doesn't belong on board anymore. Josh Billings put it this way, it's easier to repent the sins that we have committed than to repent the sins we intend to commit. Someone once said, you're telling someone to stop sinning. You know, says you don't go to a thief and say, well, just steal a little less this week. Or to a person who's beating his wife, well, drink less and only beat your wife once a week instead of every night. That's ridiculous. It says, make a break. And how do we do that? We can only do that by the power of the resurrection. By the power of the resurrection. I believe that today's church and churches around the world have an integrity problem. We believe that we can add Christ to our life without subtracting sin. You know that your mouth and every word from your mouth belongs to God. You shouldn't be cussing. Your eyes belong to God. Shouldn't be allowing stuff in that's just foul, right? Why? Because we fix our eyes on the risen Savior. He's the captain, and you're not. And he gets to choose what's on board. And the stuff that he chooses to be on board, we'll talk about next week. The good stuff. It's my prayer that that in the year to come, that I would learn and we would all learn to focus more our eyesight and our thoughts on the things of heaven. And that we would allow Jesus Christ to truly be the captain of every aspect of our life and allow him to go into the cargo hold of our life and throw things overboard, that we may truly live as free men and women. Christ is risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us, and we ask now, as we go from here, that we would go as changed people. We would fix our gaze on you, that you are seated in heaven, but also, Lord, you're seated in our own hearts, the throne of our heart. Lord, you're the captain, and we're not. Lord, we're just an able seaman. So thank you, Lord, for your ability to get our lives and make them orderly. You're able to help us through the storms of life. And we just trust you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Our Heavenly Father, take us from here. We realize this, that we would lay at your feet, at the foot of the cross, all of our needs, all of our worries and cares, all of our dreams. We confess that you are the King and we're not. So, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Use our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Happy Easter. He is risen.